Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Hey. We left off in daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, a couple of lines from the bottom. We're going to continue in today's daf to discuss some details of the various melachos of Shabbos until we get to the Mishnah, which gives us Od Klal Acher on the bottom of daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, where we can get to a different klal. So we're still going through very quickly, one right after the other, the various melachos, or many of the melachos that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So we are holding at three lines from the bottom on Ayin Dalet and Beis Tofer Shtei Tfiros. That if a person sews two stitches on Shabbos, he's chayiv. So frek the Gemara v'lo kaima, but the stitching won't stand, won't hold if you sew two stitches. No, we're talking about if after you sew them, you then tie a knot to hold them in place, so then they will stay in place, and that's going to be the chiyuv for sewing on Shabbos. Hakorea almanas litfor. The Mishnah also mentioned that if someone tears almanas to be tofer, almanas to sew it up, that's also a melacha. So kriya b'mishkan mihava. So ask the Gemara, where do they ever do kriya? Where do they ever tear anything in the Mishkan? Rabbi v'Ravizeru darmi tarvayu shekein yiriya shenafal ba darna. He says, sure they did kriya when there was a curtain that a worm had gotten to and bore a hole in the curtain. Korin b'vitofrenosa. So they would tear the place where the hole was, and then they would tear it along a straight line so that they could re-sew it properly. So that's what they did. That's where they did Korea in the Mishkan. In the Chuvos of the Chasam Sofer in Chelek Vav Simen Ches, he writes that tearing Yerios HaMishkan L'chora should be a violation of the Pasukim Parshas Re'eh Lo Sasum Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah tells us that we're supposed to find the places of Avodah Zarah and destroy them and get rid of them, but Lo Sasum Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, you're not allowed to destroy anything related to a representation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Mechikas Hashem. That's where we learn the Yisr of erasing the Shem Hashem. And yet, even though Ora tearing something from the Mishkan, like the curtains of the Mishkan, should be a violation of the Sasan Kein Lashem Elokeichem, our Gemara is telling us that Litzorich Tikkun, that if you're tearing it in order to be able to fix it properly, that's going to be mutter, even though it's Efshar B'Geniza, meaning there was another option. The other option was take the curtains down that are torn and put them in Geniza and then make new curtains. Nevertheless, we see that you're allowed to tear it Litzorich Tikkun. So he says, based on here, we have a Raya that Mechikas Hashem Litzorich Tikkun is also mutter, meaning if, let's say, you have to fix a letter in the Sefer Torah, it's not perfect, the Shem Hashem. So even though you have to be mochek al menas to fix it properly, so maybe that would be called mechikas Hashem l'tzorach tikkun, that it would not be a violation of lo sasim kein. Great chiddush that the Chasam Sofer has based on our Gemara. Amr of Zutra Bar Tuvia, two lines from the top. Amr of Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amr Rav. Hamoteach chut shel tefira b'Shabbos chayiv chatos. If a person stretches the string, the thread that he uses for sewing, he's chayiv chatos. What does it mean? He stretches the thread that he uses for sewing. So Rashi says, Beged atofer v'omid v'iniach achut aruch v'nispardu shteach atichos habeged zumizu. Two items were sewn together and they start to come apart a little bit. The stitching becomes loose. So what you do in order to tighten it is you pull the string that with the thread that was used to stitch the two items together. When you pull the thread, the two things that were sewn together come together as one. That's how Rashi understands. If you look in the Rambam in the 10th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Tes, the Rambam writes a different reason. He says that when you're moteach chut shel tefira, he says shahumi tzorchei tefira, that it's one of the tzorchei tefira. So the Beis Yosef writes in our Chaim Sim Shin Mem that what the Rambam means by that is that when you pull on the string that you want to use, the thread that you want to use to sew with, so you pull on it in order that it shouldn't wind up, it shouldn't become crumpled. You pull on it to make sure to check the length and make sure that it's straight, and that's also mitzorchei tefira, and that's why that's what this Gemara is talking about, that you're chayiv for that, for doing this preparatory work for the tefira. The problem is Nishmas Adam and Chayiv Adam, and Nishmas Adam points out that it's very strange. Why would you be chayiv for that? I mean, why would you be chayiv for something that's tzorchei tefira, that's only preparatory work for the tefira? Even if tokef based kifos yipater em lo shekasher, right? We just said the Gemara, even if you actually sew two stitches, if you haven't yet tied the knot at the end to make sure that it doesn't come apart, for that you're not chayiv. So why in the world would you be chayiv for just taking the string and pulling it to make it taut? That's very, very strange. strange that the Rambam would say you're chayiv for that. So the Nishmas Adam suggests that the Rambam doesn't mean to say, like the Beis Yosef says, that it means that if you just pull the string before sewing that you're going to be chayiv. No, the Rambam holds like Rashi, that it's talking about where the two pieces are coming, the stitching is coming loose, and you pull on the strand to pull the stitching tighter together. But, he says, that we would have thought that it's not considered tofer unless you actually stick the strand in, unless you actually do an act of sewing, and pulling the string wouldn't be enough. So the Rambam writes, no, this is also tofer, because this is also mitzarchei tefira. But he's not talking about just pulling on a string before you begin the process of tefira. Says the Gemara Vayter. So again, we have this statement of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav that he made several statements. The first is that when you stretch the chut shel tefira on Shabbos, you chayiv chatos. Second statement, v'alomei dover echod min ha-magush chayiv misa. If someone learns anything from a magush, he's chayiv misa. We'll get to what a magush is in a second. The Gemara will get to it. V'yodeh. And third thing he said, v'yodeh l'chashiv tkufos mazalos ve'enu chashuv ve'enu choshev asu l'saper emenu. If a person knows how to make the cheshbonos of the tkufos and mazalos, he knows how to make the cheshbonos of the constellations, and he doesn't get involved in Nav Chachma, even though he could get involved in Nav Chachma, so you're not allowed to say anything over in his name. Such a person shouldn't be quoted. So I saw in the back of the Gemara, the Reim Horovitz points out, why not? What's the issue? So he says, Olai Ratzolomer, Sha'asal Saper Dvar Alachom Yishmo, Lufi Sheinze Kavara Torah, Kasher Lomdeha Ruchok Mechachma Schishuv Tkufos. He says one of the things that makes the Jewish people respected in the eyes of the nations is that we're bekiyim in the chachmas hatkufos, is that we were some of the earliest scholars who understood the calendar and who understood the moon and the sun and the way things work were the chachmei Yisrael, and that's our teferes le'inei ha'amim. So if you have a person who's not one of the chachamim who knows the tkufos, it's a busha for Klal Yisrael that we don't have people who know the tkufos anymore. So you shouldn't go around quoting such a person. It just makes us look bad, because the contrast is a troubling contrast for Klal Yisrael. That's how he says. Now this is reminiscent a little bit of a comment the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, where it also says a different person that you're not allowed to quote. It says Lo Tishtoy Minei Da'ivo De'Ka'achil Lachma Da'armai. They shouldn't say anything over in the name of Ivo, one of the Amorayim, because he used to eat paskuti. He used to eat bread made by a non-Jew. So they said you're not allowed to say a Dvar Shmua Mishmo. You couldn't say anything over in his name. So in the Eliyahu Rabin Simon Shin Mem, he also connects this to that Gemara, and he says, based on what the Rashba writes in Bedek Abayis, Legabe Pasakum, that the Chachamim Asu b'chachmasan, the Chacham decided with their incredible wisdom that a person should not eat paskuti. This fellow is not being mekayim that din of not eating paskuti, so he shouldn't be considered a Chacham, and therefore you shouldn't say anything over in his name, even if he has intelligent things to say. If he's taking himself outside of the category of the Chachamim, then you shouldn't say things in his name. So here also, when someone's mechashiv tkufos, in order for him to be considered a chacham and navon, so and he doesn't want to be a chacham in all the other ways, he's not interested in being a chacham in all the other ways that require to be a chacham, so he's nanash mida b'mida, that we don't consider him a chacham, that we take him out of the category of a chacham, and he doesn't get quoted as a chacham. So it's asr l'saper emenu. The Rambam in Tshuvas Pe'er Adar in Siman Nun Gimel explains this Kumari. He says that someone who has the yicholas biyada, someone who knows these things, who has scientific knowledge, and he knows all of the introductory information that you know, you see that one would need in order to understand the tkufos of the mazalos, and which is a very good and important thing to know, because why is it, and he doesn't look further, that's a very bad thing. Why is that a bad thing? Because you're always supposed to look at Maisa Bereshis and come to a greater appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something the Rambam says in a lot of different places, in different contexts, that a person should try to understand nature, should try to understand science, because the more you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, the more you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you appreciate the Godless Abriya. The Rambam writes this in the fourth parak of Yisodei HaTorah, Halach Yud Beis, that when a person is misbonin b'dvarim elu, when a person contemplates these things, and he's makir kol abruim, mimalach v'gilgal v'adam keyotzibo, he just recognizes all the different things Hashem put into this world, so he's mosif ahava l'makom. It's a phenomenal skula for avas Hashem, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're so, and for yira and pachar of Hashem, because we feel so small. The Rambam writes, v'yira v'yifachin mishufluso v'daluso. You just feel so tiny in the vastness of creation when you're able to contemplate the unbelievably vast world and all of all of space and the stars and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put there. That's why it's such a terrible thing if a person doesn't get involved in these types of in these types of areas of study, if he has the ability to. That's what's yodea lechashiv tkufas umazalos, but he's not choshev, so it's also the sapere menu. That's why you shouldn't say anything in such a person's name, because he's actively avoiding ahavas Hashem. Okay, so these were the various statements of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav. Now, one of them was unclear, because we said that if you're lomate from a magush, you're chayev misa, but we didn't say what a magush is. So magushta, two opinions in Amorayim. Rav Shmuel, charamar charshi, v'charamar gadufi. So one says it is a charshi, Rashi says a machashef, a sorcerer, and the other one says gadufi, that it was a min ha'aduk ba'avodah zarah, someone who's a megadef, who's someone who's connected to avodah zarah, and is always megadef es Hashem. If you look in Tosos, amgusha, so where do they have this machlokas? Meaning, in what context did this machlokas originally occur about what an amgushi is? So Tosa says, Pirish Ba'aruch, de pligi bahada am Rav Papa Beilu Megalchin. It's a statement of Rav Papa in the third parak of Moed Katan that says that Paro amgushi haya. It says about Paro that he was an amgushi. So what does that mean, that Paro was an amgushi? So that's where Rav and Shmuel originally had the debate. What are we highlighting about Paro when he went out to the water? Chadom Erlasos Kshafim Hayyotse, that he used to go out to the water to practice Kishuf. So that's how Amgushi is a Mechashev. V'chadom Ergadufi Shaya Osatma Vodazara Shaya Omer Liya Orivaniyas Isani. And others say, no, this was Megadif as Hashem, because he went out to the yard to be able to say that he's the one that created the yard, and that he's a god. V'ein Yer L'ri Depligi Rav Shmuel V'may Damer Rav Papa. But says Tosel, says much as that may be what it meant when we say Paro is an Amgushi, it doesn't seem that that's the original context of the Machlokas, because it doesn't seem that Rav and Shmuel would have Machlokas about something that Rav Papa said. Rav and Shmuel typically argue about things that were said by Tanoim, that they're going to argue that something that Rav Papa said is not typical. Ela pligi a Amgusha shenisker b'shumakom b'mishno b'braisa. Rather, you have to say there's a braisa somewhere that says something about Amgusha. I don't know where, don't know what, but it's got to be a Mishnah or a braisa. Rav and Shmuel don't argue about statements of Rav Papa, but either way, it could still be that's what the Rav Papa meant, either like Rav or like Shmuel, when he talks about Paro going out to the water. Tistayim de Rav Damar Gadufi. So the Gemara says it's most logical to assume that Rav is the one that says that Amgushi means a Megadev, someone who blasphemes the name of Hashem. Damar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Halomi Davrechon Min Amagush Chayiv Misa. That if someone who learns one thing from a Magush is Chayiv Misa. Rav is the one that said that. So what's it Asur to learn one thing from? Who's it Asur to learn one thing from? Is it Asur to learn one thing from a Mechashev or one thing from a Megadev? So it must be that it's also to learn one thing from a Megadev, because we know there are certain things you're supposed to learn from a Mechashev. Why? If you hold it to Mechashev that we're talking about Haksiv, the Pasuk says, Lo Salamid Lasos. You're not supposed to learn Kishuf in order to practice kishuv. Avalat alam the havin laharos. But one is supposed to learn enough kishuv to be able to understand to paskin on issues of kishuv. To be able to, if there's a navi sheker that you have to figure out how he was able to pull off all these tricks, right? You know, a person could be a navi sheker. If a person comes and he performs miracles for us and he does all sorts of predictions and he keeps on proving over and over again through all of his miraculous acts that he seems to be legitimate. And then one day he says, and you should know from now on there's no mitzvah of tefillin anymore. So the halacha is you have to kill the person. But it would be comforting to know how he was able to pull off all those tricks. So we have to understand kishuv. You could be mechayiv him for the practicing the kishuv also. But we first need to understand what kishuv is. So in order to serve on a Sanhedrin, a person has to be aware of these, have a basic knowledge of this area of study. So you're not supposed to do it, but to understand a little bit, you're supposed to. So you can't tell me that you're not allowed to learn even one thing from mechashiv. Who are you not allowed to learn even one thing from? That's a megadev. So testayim must be that Rav, who said you're not allowed to learn one thing from an amgushi, holds that amgushi is a megadev, not that amgushi is a mechashiv. Someone who knows about the tekufos and mazalos, he has the prerequisite knowledge, but he doesn't get involved in deeper study. About him, the Torah says that the work of God he doesn't look at, the handiwork of Hashem he doesn't see. Again, like that Rambam in the Tshuvas Paradar in Siman Nun Gimel, that's the violation over here. Here. That's what he's doing so terribly, is he's not coming to that appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar b'shmo b'nachmeni amar b'yochanan. Minayin shemitzvah ala adam l'chashiv t'kufos u'mazolos. How do we know that there's a mitzvah to be choshiv t'kufos u'mazolos? Shenemar u'shmartim v'asisem ki hi chachmaschem u'vinaschem le'enei ha'amim. Ezo chachma vina shehi le'enei amim. What kind of chachma and vina, what kind of knowledge, understanding is there that Klal Yisrael has that the amim can appreciate? You tell them over a nice Reb Chaim, they're not going to understand a word that you're talking about. They're not going to appreciate it. What kind of chachma does Klal Yisrael have that can be appreciated by others? Haviyomer is achishuv tekufos u'mazalos. That's knowledge of astronomy. It's a knowledge of the tekufos u'mazalos. That's something that we can have that others can appreciate. So that's what a person, that's how we know that a person is supposed to be mechashev tekufos u'mazalos. Fine. Hatzad Tzvi. The Mishnah went on to list on the next of the list of the Avos Melachos of Shabbos, someone who does Tzedah, who traps a deer. So Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa about trapping a different animal. Hatzad Chilazon. Let's say a person traps a Chilazon. Vehapotzo. And he's Potzea the Chilazon. So the word potseya is a very tricky word. It's a very controversial word to try to figure out what it means. Bizman hazeh, when we try to figure out whether we in fact have found the chilazon or not, may depend on how you translate the word potseya. If you translate like Rashi, then the Murex trunculus would be a very hard sell as a chilazon. The snail that we use for tchelos would be a very hard sell as a chilazon, because Rashi seems to say that potseya is dochko biyodov shietze damo. They squeeze it with your hands in order to extract the blood. Others suggest that potseya is a lashon of like hitting something with a hammer, like smashing something, cracking something, which Rav Herzog tried to show in his PhD thesis when he thought that he had found something else that may or may not have been the chilazon. He said it had to have been a snail. Part of it is because potseya, because it's something that has a shell that you have to crack, that you take a hammer and you crack the shell. So if you hold that potseya means this was one of Rav Per from Yeshiva Rockaway. One of the reasons he doesn't like the Murex trunculus is he doesn't think the word potseya means to crack. He thinks the word potseya means to squeeze. But anyway, so there's some very nice articles on this topic, just on this word potseya. So if a person traps the chilazon, he traps the chilazon is potseya the chilazon. Eino chayev ela achas. So he's only going to be chayev one for one malacha. for trapping the chilazon. That's another taina that people have. How can it be a violation of tzeda if it's a snail? A snail doesn't go very far. So pashtus is because to get to it, it's all the way at the bottom of the ocean. So it does involve a melacha of tzeda. It does involve a significant acts of trapping. They have to lay down the traps at the bottom of the ocean, wait till they come in, and then pull them up to trap them. So a person's only chayiv one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer chayiv shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you chayiv two malachas, not only for trapping. When you potseya, that's dash. That's a violation of dash, of threshing, of unloading, or like mefare kind of thing, where you're taking out that which is inside from its shell. Amrlo ain ptsia bechal disha. So the Chacham said, nah, that's not dash. Amr Rav my time is Rabbanan. What do you mean, nah, that's not dash? Why isn't that dash? Why wouldn't that be a violation of dash? So kasavri ain disha elo legidule karka. Because the Rabbanan hold that it's that dash is only on gidule karka. That one cannot violate dash when something is not gidule karka, and the chilazon is not gidule karka. So a couple of interesting points over here. First of all, the Radvaz raises the question. Someone asked me after the shir yesterday. I think Avi asked me after the shir yesterday. The Radvaz asked, where in the world did they get a chilazon from in the midbar? They're traveling in the middle of nowhere. So where do they have a chilazon? The chilazon was found in the chelik of Zvulun, Svune Tmune Chol, right? It was found in the chelik of Zvulun. So he says, the Radvaz says, in the Maisa Mishkan, they were near the Yam Hakadmoni Yamsuf, because there was the Ein Bein Yamsuf Lar Sinai El Adavar Muat. They were very close by, so they went to the Yamsuf and they trapped them over there, and then they came back. So and he says, Efshar Arayom Humatsui, says Radvaz, unbelievable. He says, possible that it's still there. It's just difficult to identify which one it is. Ein Makirin Oso. But it could be it's still indigenous to the region, that it could still be found by the Yamsuf. Also, we say, Ein Disha Alul Gidule Karka, the Chilazon is not called Gidul Karka because it's Gadol B'yam, it's in the ocean. That's what the Gemara says in Menachos Mem Dalet Megillah Davav, that it's not Begeder Gidul Karka. Behema, however, as we pointed out yesterday, in a number of places in Shas is considered Gidule Karka, a behema that lives on land because he eats from the ground and is therefore considered a Gidule Karka. That's why Rashi held the 9 Gibbulim Beis that a Cholev is Chayv Mishum Dash, that when you milk an animal, it's a violation of Dash, even though Ein Disha is Ein Disha Ela Gidule Karka. Cholev is considered something that you do on Gidule Karka. Now Tosu so disagrees. Tosu says the Cholev is not Disha, the Cholev is Mimachik, that it's smoothing out the udder of the animal. Okay, so Frekta Gemara, V'lechayv Nami Mishum Netilas Neshama. So why when you break open the, let's call it the shell of the Chilazon, in order to extract the dye, why is it not a violation of Netilas Neshama? Isn't the snail going to die? Isn't the Chilazon going to die soon after? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shepatzo Meis. That, no, we're talking about where you crack it open when it's dead. Rava Amar, Rava says, nah, filutem shapatzo chai. Now, even we could even be talking about where you crack it open while it's alive. Misasek, who eats on Netilas Neshama. But you're considered misasek with regard to Netilas Neshama. So Rashi and Tosfos both point out over here, Tosfos emphasizes that over here we don't mean misasek in the sense that we've been using misasek recently, where you're completely mindlessly not even realizing that you're doing the act. When you're extracting the dye, you know that you're extracting dye and you know that it's going to kill the animal. You know that the chilazon is not going to survive this process. So we don't mean misasek in that sense. What we mean is that it's a davar shein miskaving, that you're not trying to kill the animal. You want to get the dye out of the animal. You're not trying to kill the animal. That's the idea that chelis is a dam chilazon, that it's the blood of the chilazon, that it's its entire circulatory blood. So that's a little bit difficult to say, that you're going to take away all of its blood and then you call that misasek a davar shein miskaving, meaning that's mamish killing it. But if it's dye that's not part of its blood, it's a dye, some sort of mucus that's in a shell, it seems to fit a little bit better. But anyway, that's not your interest. Your interest is not to kill it when you're extracting the dye from the shell. Wait a second, isn't this a psikreshe? How can you say that you're not, it's a davrshin miskavein, that you have no intention to extract to kill the animal while you're extracting the dye? You will kill the animal when you're extracting the dye, so isn't that a psikreshe? So answer the Gemara, Shaini Hacha de Kamadi Ispe Neshama Tfei Nichalei Keichi de Leitzel Tzivei. He says, very interesting, that the longer you keep the animal alive, the better the dye is going to be. So not only are you not intending to kill it, you're dafka trying your best not to kill it for as long as you possibly can. Because if you kill it, that's going to ruin your chances of getting a really good dye out of it. Now that particular characteristic of the chilazon was one of the major challenges to the sheet of the Radzina Rebbe. When the Radzina Rebbe published all of the Svarim, first saying that we should try to find the Chilazon, and then saying, I think I got it, I think I found it. So he dealt with a number of the issues that he tried to fit it into all the Gemaras. This was a very difficult Gemara for him, because he held that the cuttlefish was the Chilazon. And the cuttlefish is there is no such fact by the cuttlefish when you're extracting the dye that you need to keep it alive. Adarabba, the Radzina Rebbe probably, you know, when he was supplied by his with his dye, he had it sent to him from very far away from Italy, long dead, and he still used it as a perfectly good dye. So that was a major challenge. It's also one of the stronger rayas to the Murex trunculus snail, that's the proper chilazon, because this is something that's very much true about the Murex, and this was something that even when they were using this snail as a dye in ancient times, they already knew this fact. They already were very, very careful not to kill it when they were extracting the dye. Aristotle already talks about this, about when fishermen were always anxious to break the animal in pieces while it was still alive. And there are chemical explanations. Chemistry, there's a certain there's a certain enzyme that's needed for the transformation into the dye, to transform the mucus into a dye properly, and that enzyme starts to decompose soon after you kill the snail. So it fits very, very well with the Murex trunculus, does not fit nearly as well with the Radziner Tchelas. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Vashochto, if a person is shechts an animal, so says the Gemara, shochet mishum mai chayiv. What's the chiyiv by shechting an animal? What did you do? So says Rashi, what do you mean, what did you do? You shechted, says Rashi. What we mean to say is, where did they ever do shechita in the Melach Samishkan? That wasn't part of the Melach Samishkan. If you assume that the Melach Samishkan are those things that we did to make the Mishkan, when did they have, they had to shecht once we had a Mishkan to do the, but when did they shecht to make the Mishkan? If they needed the hides of rams to make different curtains, good. They could have killed it. They could have hunted it. They could have shot it. They could have choked it. They didn't have to shecht it. Nechitesu, where did they need to do shechita? So some of the Acharim say, what do you mean? Where did they need to do shechita? The Sharm Tzon Balachis raised the question over here that they couldn't just choke it or kill it some other way. It would be a violation of Tzar Belichayim, or at least a violation of Baltashkis, because now what are you going to do with the meat? Now the meat will all become nevela. So maybe that's why they did shechita in the Mishkan. So he said, no, what you have to say is, yeah, but that wasn't necessary for the Melach HaMishkan. For mitamim tzadiyim, for these side reasons, for these external reasons, yeah, the way they killed these animals was probably with shechita. But not because they needed to do shechita for the Melach HaMishkan. That wasn't really necessary. So the Gemara says, why are you, what Melach are you doing when you do shechita? Two opinions. Rav Amar Mishum Tzoveya, Shmuel Amar Mishum Netilas Neshama. Rav says it's a violation of Tzoveya, Shmuel says a violation of Netilas Neshama. The Chumash says that it seems strange. The Rambam here paskins like Shmuel, that it's a din of Netilas Neshama. It's a little bit strange, the Chumash points out in the 11th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, because normally Hilchos Karav be Yisurei, we always paskin like Rav by Isur, but it could be as follows. It could be the explanation is based on the next line. Frankly, Mar Mishum Tzoveya in Mishum Netilas Neshama lo. How can Rav say it's only Mishum Tzoveya? What, it's not Netilas Neshama? Do you think you're not killing it when you shuck the animal? So Ema Af Mishum Tzoveya. Now, Rav means to say is that it's both Tzoveya and Netilas Neshama. So it could be that's why the Rambam Paschal, like Shmuel, says in Maaser Rokeach, because the Lashon of the Mishnah sounds like you're only Chayiv Chada, that when you shecht an animal, it's only a violation of one Malacha. According to Rav, it's a violation of two malachos. So maybe that's why Shmuel paskins dafka like Rav, dafka like Shmuel over here, and not like Rav, because Shmuel is the only one that says that it's only one malacha. Rav would say it's two malachos. There's an interesting shaila, an interesting suffix that Chassam Sofer raises in his tshuvas in Yerodei Asumin Yodalit. He says, what if you shech the ben pakua? So ben pakua is an animal that was a fetus when its mother was shechted. So the was in its mother's womb when the mother was shechted. So the halacha is that it doesn't require shechita. You can eat it without shechita. So if you shech the ben pakua on Shabbos, are you chayiv? Why? Because if you wanted to eat it, you could just cut off a piece of it and eat it. You don't have to shecht it in order to eat it. And if you cut off a piece and eat it as like a Never Menachai kind of thing, except it's mutter, it's not considered Never Menachai for a Jew. You're allowed to eat it. And then it could still work in the fields for you. So isn't it pure makalkel if you shecht such an animal? Says Chassam Sofer, you're completely destroying it. The best way to eat it is just cut off a piece of meat, eat it, put a bandage on it, and let it go work in the field again for you. So it would be makalkel. So the Rambam said, the Rambam, however, holds in the 10th that Ben Pakua is asur to Ben Noach. Very fascinating. It's one of these things that rare example of something that's mutter for a Jew, but is asur for Ben Noach, would be considered Eiver Menachai for a Ben Noach. So maybe it's called Mesakein on that level, that you're making it roy for a Ben Noach to eat. But not all the Rishonim agree to the Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds it, but the Rashba doesn't agree. The Rashba thinks that it's mutter for a Ben Noach. So the Chassam Sofer says, according to the Rashba, we have a suffix over here. You're allowed to shech the Ben Pakua. So if you hold Mishum Tzoveya, so then it's still a violation of Tzoveya. Because the tzaveh may still be a positive thing, but from mitzad nitzilus neshama, it's a pure mekalkel. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Amar Rav Milsa da Amri. Rav says, I realize what I said. Ema ba Milsa. I need to elaborate on it a little bit. Because I don't want later generations to come and laugh at me. Meaning, I brought this out of left field that if you shecht an animal tzaveh, everyone's going to think that's the weirdest thing ever. Why in the world would it be tzaveh when you shecht an animal? So as Rashi explains, meaning why do you care about the tzviya? Tzoveh, or as the Gemara, tzoveh b'may nichalei. Why does someone want the tzviya? You're just shechting the animal. Who cares about the coloring on the animal? So some of the Akronim in Chaschinuch in Melechus Tzoveh raises the question, what kind of comment is this? Why would people laugh at him? We have a machlokas throughout this entire Masechta. Malacha shein tzrich legufa. When you do a malacha that's not for its, not for the purpose it was done for in the Mishkan, right? So is it chayiv or is it pater? So Rabbi Yehuda Shita is a chayiv on malacha shein tzrich legufa. So granted that, why do you care about the tzvi? Doesn't that just make it a malacha shein tzrich legufa? That when you're tzoveya by shechting, when the blood comes on the animal's neck and its tzoveya reddens the entire area of the so why would people laugh at him? Because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that's worthy of being laughed at. So the Nishmas Adam Klal Chav David writes that the chucha is that it's ain derech tzviya bekach, that it's not the derech to be tzoveya in this way by shechting the animal and letting the blood be tzoveya the hide of the animal. So that's what Rav felt he needed to explain. What makes this a positive tzoveya? So nicha de litvas beis hashchita dama ki hechi de lechzua inshi v'leisu lizbenimine. Now it is something that he does want to have the beis hashchita, the area on the animal's neck where it was shechted. He does want it to be saturated in blood so that people will see that it's a fresh animal. People will see that it's freshly shechted so that they'll want to buy it from you. So that's the advantage of being tzoveya through the blood of the animal when one shechts. Okay, v'amolchava ma'abda. We then talked about salting the hides and tanning the hides. So haynu maleach, haynu ma'avid. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't salting just part of the one method of doing the tanning process? So b'yachon v'shlakish amri tavayu, afik chad minayu v'ayil siyutut. Unbelievable. He says, yeah, the list in the Mishnah is not accurate. You need to take one of these things off the list and instead replace it with sirtut. What's sirtut? Says Rashi, sirtut is when you're cutting a hide, you first trace the lines exactly where you want to cut the leather so you can cut it properly, exactly to size and exactly the shape that you want it. So you trace the lines in order to cut it properly. So I just saw Rav Silberstein raises the shayla, is would you say this on a person's body as well? Would you say that there's such an issue of sirtut? Why would you ever do this on a person's body? Let's say you're a surgeon and you need to make the lines of exactly where you need to cut. Would that be a violation of sirtut? The manafkamina, if it's a surgery that's going to save a person's life, so you do the surgery, you're saving a person. Yeah, but the sirtut's not going to save the person's life. Let a guy do that. There's a non-Jewish surgeon that could do that. I'm the best surgeon, so I'm going to be the one that's going to do the surgery. But I could trust somebody else to do the sirtut. It's not going to have much of an effect. So is that a violation of sirtut? So he quotes our Gemara and this Rashi, and then he quotes from the Rashash that kach pirush Rashi aval Rambam beperusho bechiburo sof perikir alef mefarish kisirtut debekol hashas haynu shemesartit l'tzorech haksiva. The Rambam says sirtut is not making lines on the hide in order to know where to cut it. The Rambam says the sirtut over here is like sirtut that we talk about when we talk about stam, when we talk about writing stam, where you make lines in order, when we talk about gittin, writing gittin, also we make lines in order to make the writing straight. So that's a totally different shita in terms of what's going on. So he says, l'chora, big nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam, based on what the Mishnah Berurah says in Simen Shin Mem. Mishnah Berurah writes, kasav achai adam, de kolam alachos chutz mikosev chayiv, bein biyamino, bein bismolo. So all malachos that you do, except for writing, your chayiv, whether you do it with your right hand or your left hand. So according to that, yesh lachkar, what's the din if you're mesartet bismol? What if you make the scratches with your left hand? According to the Rambam, you're pater, because it's mitzor chayaksiva. It's considered like writing with your left hand. It's part of the writing process. So it's being kosi bismol, being mesartet bismol, would be the same thing. Whereas according to Rashi, no, it's not even do ksiva, and therefore you should be chayiv when you mesartet b'smol. So it's another nafkamina. If you do a sirtut be'emsos chut shel sikra, that's you use a pen that's invisible ink. It's not going to last that long. It's going to last less than a day. According to the Rambam, it's like kosev. So kosev that's not going to last, invisible ink is not chayiv mishum kosev. But if it's a din of sirtut in terms of making the making the lines to know where to cut, so then certainly that would be a valid way of doing it, and therefore would be chayiv. Another nafkamini says when you mitzartet utzarech chituch os achas me'or. According to Rashi, there's no shear to the sirtut. According to the Rambam, there is a shear. So then another nafkamina might be whether there's sirtut ba'adam. Just like there's kosev ba'adam, the Rambam, maybe there's mesartet ba'adam. So in our Shaila, he says, it's kedai l'samin es makom anituach b'diyo she'ino shel kayama. He says, probably best, if a surgeon is going to do this, he should use an ink that's not going to last too long. V'atov b'yosra de rofe nachri. Hilayesh b'zeh gam roshen. He says, even better to have a non-Jewish doctor to do it, based on this, based on the fact that it might be sirtut. V'ayitin l'gmaram rabar afuna haiman d'molach bisra chayiv mishum ha'abed. If a person salts meat, he's chayiv mishum ma'abed. Rava amar ein ibud ba'ochlin. No, there's no ibud, there's no tanning on food. Amar vashi v'afilu Rav Barafuna l'amar el dekabayu le'l'urcha. Rav Barafuna, when he says that you're chayiv mishum ma'abed, that's only when you're using it for much you do a lot of salting. Avalabesa, meaning you're going to go on the road and you need this to last a long time. Avalabesa, but if you're just using this meat in your house, lamash v'inish michli eats, a person wouldn't want to over salt his meat because he doesn't want his meat to taste like wood. V'amachko v'amachadcho, meaning he doesn't want beef jerky. He wants meat. Beef jerky is for the road. V'amachko v'amachadcho, if a person is memachik or mechatech, Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina hashav peina amud m'shabes chayv mishum memachik. Rashi understands this means you smooth out the ground in between the pillars of a building on Shabbos, so you chayv mishum memachik for smoothing. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba gimel devar m'sachli Rav Ashi m'shmed Rabbi Shubal Levi. Rabbi Shubal Levi, Rav Ashi told me three things in the name of Rabbi Shubal Levi. Number one, hamagare Rashi klunsos b'Shabbos chayv mishum mechatech. If a person smooths out poles on Shabbos, he's chayv mishum mechatech. Hamareich retia b'Shabbos chayv mishum mechatech. If you take an ointment or a cream and you put it on a wound on Shabbos, you're chayv mishum mechatech. And again, that's what we call memareich, which is told of mechatech. And number three, v'amisatis es ha'even b'Shabbos chayv mishum makab patish. A person chisels a stone on Shabbos is chayv mishum makab patish. Tosfos explains we're assuming it's already cut down to size and it's already exactly the shape you want it. You're just making nice images on it, so it's chayv mishum makab patish. You just add some nice you add some nice decoration to it. Amar Reb Shimon ben Kisma, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Hatzar Tzura b'kli, if someone makes a nice image on a kli, v'menafeich b'kli zechuchis, where he blows glass, chayiv mishum makab patish, is a violation of makab patish. Amar Reb Yehuda, haiman deshakel akufei miglimi, if someone takes out the protruding strands from a garment, chayiv mishum makab patish, v'ani mili tekapen alayi, that's only if you're makbid on it, and you don't want it there. V'akosif shtei osios, kosif shtei osios is another Malach we mentioned in the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan, Kosevos Achas Gedola. Let's say you write one large letter, Vieshbim become a lift of Shtayim Patr, and there's enough room to have written two letters there, you're Patr, because you only wrote one. Machakos Gedola, Vieshbim become a lift of Shtayim Chayiv. But if you erase one very large letter, and there's enough room to write two other letters, then you're Chayiv. Because Mochik, the whole thing is Mochik al Manas Lichtov. What do you mean, enough room to write two letters? Make it a small font, and there will always be enough room to write two letters. So Minchas Chinuch says, yeah, an Os Beinoni. 12 font? I don't know. Whatever an Os Beinoni is. Am Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yosef, Zech Chumra B'mochik Mi B'Kosev. This is the Chumra Mochik has over Kosev. Habona V'Asosa, Mechaba, Mavir, V'Makab, Patish. The Mishnah continues to list Avos Malachos. Rabbi Zeri Dharma Tavai, Kol Midi Dispe, Gemar Malacha, Chai Mishum Makab, Patish. Anytime you finish something off, that's Makab, Patish. Elu Avos Malachos, Elu Afukim, Rabbi Lazar, Demachayev Al Tolda Makamav. The reason why we say Elu is tell me not like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, who thinks you're Chayev on a Tolda, even when you did the av of that same tolda. Chasar achas, so we said it's our boim chasar achas. Why do we mention that? Lafuki mid Rabbi Yehuda, tell me not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Mosif es hashovet v'medaktik. Rabbi Yehuda adds on, lining up the warp with the rod and beating the weft thread. I mean, different processes in the weaving process. So amulo shovet harei b'chal mesach, medaktik harei b'chal orik. No, those aren't separate of us malachos. That's already included in mounting the warp. That's already included in the malacha of weaving, so that's why it only comes out to 39 malachas, and we don't have any of these additional malachas. Okay, but Hashem will pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.